Now we warmly welcome everyone on this night, which is the closing night of our gospel effort here. And as we look back, we can say, it is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. That so many attended every night from the first night, and that on every occasion, visitors and strangers, and those who have seldom heard the gospel have come. And we thank God for everyone that has professed faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now for my part here this evening, I would like to read in Matthew chapter 11. Shall we read, please, at verse 20? Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now verse 28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now shall we read in the 25th chapter? This carries us on to an altogether different day, but it's the same person coming as the King and Judge. Verse 31, time is indicated here, Matthew 25 and 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep in his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now look down, please. At the end here, verse 41, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. It will not be difficult for you to see what I'm going to speak about. Two of the greatest statements of the Lord Jesus that are recorded in the Gospel by Matthew. The first one that we would look at, those blessed words that are still true this evening. Come unto me. What a lovely word that is. Matthew 11 and 28 is among those verses that have been used so many times in the salvation of precious souls. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will, there's no doubt about it here, I will give you rest. And then he describes himself in this kingly gospel. We would never expect a king to speak like this. If it had been in the Gospel by Luke, where we gaze upon Christ in his humanity as a man of sorrows, we might well fit them there. But this is the Gospel of the Sovereign, the King of Kings. And he said, I am meek, lowly in heart. gentleness of the Savior with sinners. Come unto me. But in Matthew 25, it's an altogether different day and a different scene. But the speaker is the same. But he's no longer offering salvation as the Savior. But he's condemning as the judge. And here's the words that I want you to think about now. Depart from me. Depart from me. Tonight in this meeting, he says to everyone that is here, doesn't matter how deeply into sin you may have gone, or how far away you may have wandered in sin, the Savior is standing here on this last night, and he's saying, come unto me. But in Matthew 25, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. Salvation's day is gone. And now we see him as the judge. And he will say to those on the left hand that have missed salvation, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare, not for man. God never prepared that place for any sinner that is here. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But every sinner that fails to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, he will finally hear those words. It is my prayer that no one here will ever hear them. God knows. We may never be here again. Certainly will not all be met in the same way or gathered in the same company as we are this evening. It is my prayer that not one of our hearers, however insignificant he may be, however far away you may have wandered, I trust that you will never hear from the lips of Christ, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Tonight, it is the day of grace, and the Savior is saying, come. But on that day, it is the day of judgment, and the Savior will say, depart. Now tis come, but then depart. Now let us look just for a moment at this beautiful expression. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You'll notice in contrast to the context here where he addresses himself to hardened sinners who have heard the gospel and have rejected it, he said, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, Chorazin, the cities where his mighty works were done. If these same that lived in Sodom and had the opportunity of the cities on the plain, they would have remained to this day. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I think that's one of the most solemn statements in all the Bible from the lips of Christ, that there are those who have been exalted like Capernaum to the very gates of heaven with privilege. And that's true of some of you here. God has been kind. He brought you into a family relationship where you had liberty and opportunity in the Sunday school and in the gospel meetings to hear the pure gospel of the grace of God. Whatever other failures may have been amongst the Christians, there is one thing that we all have desired, and that is that during our lifetime, we might be able to spread the gospel. The gospel hall is a place where the gospel is preached. And we have a desire, and our fathers before us all had desires, that the gospel would be made clear. No one has ever attended a gospel hall Sunday school, but he early learns his need of Christ, and the gospel is clearly declared and preached. And some of you are here, and your mother, when she brought you into the world, maybe before you were born, prayed that you might be saved. And there are many here tonight, and you've wandered far away, and you've been exalted to the very gate of heaven with privilege. I want to say it will be a dreadful thing to die without the Savior. Those texts will ring in your mind in hell itself, and all the sorrow that will be upon you, the greatest sorrow of all will be that I heard the gospel and I knew I could be saved, but I rejected Christ
and I'm lost at last. There's a seat right here, my seat. Come up here. Better late than never. We've got one there. Good.
To be exalted to the very gate of heaven with privilege,
and to turn away.
How will you be able to bear it? There will be people in hell who never sat in one meeting. The Lord tells us here, Sodom and Gomorrah, they never heard a gospel hymn. If they had heard, this is a remarkable statement, if they had heard, they would have turned in repentance and would have remained to this day unjudged. But they had no opportunity, and they died without mercy. The most terrible death of all is to die as a gospel listener who has rejected Christ as your Savior, to perish in your sins. But he turns away from those that have rejected, and he turns to those who have a heavy heart. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I believe in this gathering there are some like that. You've been laboring, and you're heavy laden. You're not indifferent anymore. There are those around us who are steeped in religion and feel they're going to heaven all the time, and they have never been awakened yet. And there are others here, and they're so full of pride and pleasure that they have no interest in eternity. But I believe in our gathering there are some, and you have a heavy heart this last night. I hope you'll not go down the stairs tonight without knowing Christ as your Savior. You've been heavy laden, burdened with your sin. Only the Holy Spirit can give a man a burden. If you have got a burden about your need, and if you have the slightest desire in your heart to have your sins forgiven, it has been planted there by a divine hand. Oh, I trust you'll not grieve the Holy Spirit. He's like a gentle dove in the Bible, and you could chase him away from your door and be left without Christ forever. Now is the time for you to heed this invitation. Who are they? Laboring and heavy laden souls. Those who know their need. Now the Savior says, come. Come is the sweet invitation of grace. Come. What does it mean? It means that he desires you to come to a person. Come unto me. Doesn't say come unto the brethren. Doesn't say come unto the waters of baptism. It doesn't say come unto religion or read your Bible even. It says come unto me. Oh, we want to set before you this last night that salvation is found in one source alone, our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone that comes to him will be received. He has never been known to turn away an anxious, laboring soul yet. Even some in the last hours as they're going down into eternity, he waits in grace so wondrous. He's slow to damn anyone. I want you to get that. The Lord is slow to anger and of great mercy. He's bore with some of you all the days. What are you going to do tonight in this gospel meeting? You say, I didn't come to be saved tonight. I came to please a friend. Oh, it doesn't matter for what cause you've come. You're here tonight, and the invitation is, come unto me. Oh, hear that sweet call. Come unto me. And I love this precious verse. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. People wonder, how will the Lord receive me? He's willing to receive you. All the barriers are with you. There's no barriers with him. When he died on the cross, he opened a door. And John 10 and 9, we read these lovely words, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. The door is open wide. And over its portals is the great word, whosoever. Oh, I love that word. Whosoever will may come. In our text behind us to which we've referred every night, the Savior said, whosoever believeth in him. What does it mean to believe? It means to trust. It means to depend. It means to rest entirely upon him. Are you willing tonight, in all your sin and guilt,
to come right now in this meeting and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus died on that middle cross for me, the sinner, and He's standing in this meeting nearer than the preacher or angels or one beside me. And He's speaking at my door and He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. This verse tells me that salvation is in Christ. But this verse tells me that man is a responsible being. That you are responsible. You can either come or you can stay away. No one is going to coerce you. We're certainly not going to put pressure upon you at all. There's no pressure put upon you. We don't believe in that. We believe that every person is a free will agent. And where you will be in eternity will be determined by one person. You are the one. I remember the night that was brought home to my heart, that where I will be in the great eternity is dependent upon what I shall do with the Savior of the world. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 3:36. He that believeth not the Son. Not believing about Him, everyone believes about Him. But believing on Him means resting entirely for salvation upon Christ alone, the solid rock. And John 3:36 divides our meeting into two groups here tonight. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You'll never be in heaven without Christ. You can join a religion without Christ. You can take communion without Christ. You can go through water baptism, either sprinkling, pouring, or immersion without Christ. But inside heaven's golden gate, no soul will ever stand who has rejected, who has not received personally at a given time, whether it be in his bedroom or in a gospel meeting, wherever he was. Everyone going to heaven has received Christ personally, not a historic Christ, not about Christ, but personally to be my own personal Savior, realizing that his atoning death has taken account of my sin. He stood in my place. He died that I might be forgiven, that heaven might be my home. And Mrs. Alexander penned those lovely words. There wasn't another good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let me in. At Calvary unlocked the golden gate. And he invites you to come. And he says, come unto me. All ye that labor. You don't need to sit in two meetings. We're making it simple tonight because we may never see you again. We want to get down to the very basics of Christianity. What am I depending on right now to take me to heaven? If this night would be my last. Oh, you say because you've been a preacher for years. Because you've lived a life of a Christian, and you've read the Bible and studied the Scriptures. These are all great things, but on them we do not depend. Here's what I believe. I was a guilty sinner, but the most important but in all the universe was Jesus Christ. If you're only here tonight, we'll take it in. Is there a man here? Is there a boy? A girl? A child? The ABCs of the gospel. What are the ABCs of the gospel? A tells me that all have sinned. B tells me, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And C tells me, confess with thy mouth Jesus as thy Lord. And believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not of works. Come unto me. Think of him standing here with outstretched hands. Here's from Calvary. His heart of love is moved. He waits to receive you. He's knocking at your door. He's calling in the gospel. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Oh, hear that blessed voice calling you tonight. Come. Let me ask you, what are you going to do? In the sound of your heart, don't ask you to raise your hand.
Wait behind you, anything. What will you do right now? You sit here. God
looks into your heart. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming Jesus is passing this way. Doesn't pass every time at their gospel meeting. The sweetness of his presence is not felt in every gospel meeting. Many times I've preached, it was hard and difficult. Many a time I've preached and I felt that there was no interest. But in these nights we have felt the movement of the Holy Spirit of God and the gentle voice of the Savior calling amid the strife and din of earth, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Oh, the rest that can be yours tonight from ever being in hell. To put your head on your pillow and realize, I know he's mine, this friend so dear. He walks with me, he's ever near. 10,000 charms around him shine, but best of all, I know. At the end of the journey, money won't matter. At the end of the journey, wealth won't come. At the end of the journey, popularity and the world's flattery will mean nothing. When the hour comes that we're leaving the big thing, when I visit men that are dying, and some of them wealthy businessmen and so on that I visited that were dying, I impressed upon them, the big thing is to know Christ. If your eyes close without him, you'll be lost forever in hell and the lake of fire. Man, tonight you must know that he's dead. And if you die without him, where will you be in eternity? There's only two places. Heaven for the saved and hell for the lost. Same one who tenderly calls tonight, come unto me. Matthew 25. He will say to every lost soul, depart from me. Go away from me. Depart from me into everlasting fire, into everlasting punishment, prepared for the devil and his angels. And we read these solemn words, these shall go away. They'll always be going away. You know, it's a tremendous thing to me that when a sinner is bidden by Christ to go away into everlasting punishment. That's the nearness, the nearest moment he'll ever be to Christ, to the believers that are there. We're going to witness this. It's a tremendous day. I stood at the grave of Murray McShane in Dundee, when I was preaching in those parts. I went up to the grave. He died when he was 28. He was a Presbyterian clergyman. He was a faithful preacher of the gospel. Died very young. And as I stood at his grave, I thought of many things. But one thing I did think about, some of the hymns he wrote. And one of the verses that he wrote came to me that day as I stood there. When I hear the wicked call, on the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them start and shrink on the deluge fiery brink, not till then, Lord, shall I know, not till then, how much I owe. The tremendous day for us, we're going to stand by his side in that great judgment hour and watch sinners go away, one by one, sentenced to everlasting punishment. To be lost, never to be saved. lost irretrievably for all eternity in the lake of fire. Dear mom, tonight it must not be. Turn by the Savior and glory of these meetings and be saved for eternity, lest you have died your sins. You don't say, go away. You'll be going out, further out, into the darkness, never to meet a friend or foe. The lake of fire is a lonely place, to drink your own bitter cup, and to look back and remember your lifetime, and your mother's prayers and your father's tears, and this very meeting at your end will rise before you and you will say, if I'd only turned that night. But it's too late. Summer's here, and I am not saved. And the Lord grant that everyone here tonight may be touched, and that you might come tonight and have the matter settled for his name's sake.